Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. And so we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace, we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I will say, Yahweh, rejoice.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them.
Who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed.
Who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, the third chapter. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of your people.
You covered all their sins.
Lord, you were favorable to your land.
You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people.
You covered all their sins.
You withdrew all your wrath.
You turned from your hot anger.
Restore us again, O God of our salvation.
And put away your indignation for us.
Will you be angry with us forever?
Will you prolong your anger to all generations?
Will you not revive us again?
That your people may rejoice in you.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him.
That glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet.
Righteousness and peace exist each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground.
And righteousness goes down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good.
And our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him.
And make his footsteps away.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
You forgave the iniquity of your people.
You covered all their sins.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the fourth chapter. Gaudete, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, Gaudete, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah! Behold, I send my messenger before your face.
Who will prepare your way before you? Hallelujah!
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the seventh chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, He has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. This is the Gospel of the Lord. What do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the question posed to Jesus by our gospel reading. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And his reply, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. This is our text. Is Jesus the one who is to come? Ha Messiah, as we say in Living Nativity, the Messiah. Or is there another? Have we put our faith in the right man? Or did we make a mistake somewhere along the way? Should we be looking for someone else? That's the question, isn't it? It seems like everyone asks that question at one time or another. And by everyone, I don't just mean atheists, agnostics, and those who used to be Christians, but also kids raised in the church, Sunday school teachers, church council members, elders, and even pastors. So don't be embarrassed if you've asked that question before, or if you're asking it right now, or if you ask it at some point in the future. It's not unusual to have questions about Jesus. It's not unusual to have doubts. It's not unusual to be unsure about what's true. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And often, it's when things get dark that this question starts to gnaw at our minds. And by dark, I mean some tragedy, some loss, some shame or disappointment. Times when we feel trapped, alone, or afraid. When we're stuck and can't get ourselves unstuck. When life hasn't turned out the way that we expected it would. Especially when we've worked hard, done good, and tried to do what is right. If Jesus is the Messiah, we ask ourselves, why did that happen? How can he be the Savior when my life is like this? And that's exactly how it hit John and his disciples. Yes, that John the Baptizer. You remember him, don't you? He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He told the crowds that someone else was coming, someone greater, the strap of whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. One who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and who was ready to clear the threshing floor of chaff. He confidently declared Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But he doesn't seem so sure now. And his followers aren't fully convinced either. John and his disciples, they've got questions. A lot of questions. About Jesus. Now, for John, the trouble began when he started preaching about the sixth commandment. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. He told it like it was, and he called out sins against God's gift of marriage. Sexual acts before and outside of marriage, living together, hooking up, divorce, prostitution, porn, homosexuality, and the one that really got him into hot water. Telling Herod the ruler to stop messing around with Herodias, his brother's wife. Power doesn't take kindly to rebuke. And if we're honest, sexual things have a tremendous hold in our lives and in the lives of people in our world. And that's what finally landed John in prison, telling Herod to stop doing what he was doing. It was the truth. John was right to say it. But he still ended up behind bars and eventually lost his head because of it. I wonder if John ever had regrets. I wonder if he ever regretted opening his mouth about that. I wonder if he ever thought about how he could have said that more tactfully or more winsomely, or maybe just at some other time. But I'll tell you, that's fruitless speculation. If it's the truth and the truth that needs to be said and heard, then we ought to have no regrets. So John confessed the truth, and as St. Peter says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. It is better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I don't think that being in prison was the hardest part for John. Others had gone through similar things. Elijah and Daniel and Jeremiah had suffered much the same. I think the hardest part was being in prison while also believing that the Messiah had come in the flesh. It was knowing he sat in the dark, even though the light of the world was shining. If Jesus is the Messiah, why'd that happen? How can he be the Savior when my life is like this? Why would he allow this shame, this suffering, this sorrow? You see, for John and his disciples, it wasn't quite adding up. So what is it for you that doesn't add up? What is it for you that doesn't make sense? What is it for you that puts a big question mark right after Jesus? Because that's what we're dealing with here. Disappointment with Jesus. It's not just the darkness of prison. It's the darkness of doubt and fear. Had he gotten the message wrong? Had his faith been in vain? And so, calling two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "What gives? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another?" And so that's what they did. They went to Jesus with this message, with this question. They went to Jesus and said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you saying, are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another?" They ask for John. They ask for themselves. They ask for you. Because you, like them, suffer for doing good, for living and serving faithfully in Jesus' name, and you have the same questions, the same doubts, and the same need for answer from Jesus. I know it because I have those same questions too, and because sometimes you even ask me those questions. And it's telling to me that John sends his disciples not simply to confess their faith in Jesus, not simply to say, "Jesus, you're great and wonderful and we believe in you," but to ask a question and even to express their doubt. That's where we should go when we have questions, when we have doubts, when we have uncertainties gnawing at us out of the darkness of life. Now, in that hour, Jesus did not rebuke them. He did not send them away. He did not tell them to stop asking him, questioning him, or asking him these things. No, a faintly burning wick our Lord will not snuff out, and a bruised reed he will not break. In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight, and he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." That's the only answer they get. It's the only answer we get. That light shining in the darkness, the promise to those who suffer. You see, Jesus points to what he's doing. "If you want to know who I am," Jesus says, "look at what I do." So the two unnamed messengers see for themselves, and they take the report to John. Jesus doesn't even go himself. He simply sends them to bear witness about what they have seen and heard. Those two unnamed messengers, what they bring to John is a word. They bring a promise, and that's all the answer that John gets, and it's the answer that we get. Many, of course, would say that that's not enough. And many would say, in answer to the question whether Jesus is the one who is to come or we should look for another, that he's certainly not the one who is to come. I think here about other religions, first of all. Few modern Jews expect a real Messiah, but those who do would say that clearly Jesus isn't it. Muslims call Jesus a prophet, but if you ask them who is the one who was to come, they would point to Muhammad as the greater one. New Age movements tell us that the one who is to come doesn't need to be found or show up because he's already inside each and every one of us, if we would just tap into that spark of the divine. And even some Christians want nothing more from Jesus than directions about how to have a better, a happier, a life free of suffering. But you'll know a tree by its fruit, and you know Jesus by what he does. Maybe it doesn't sound like much. It certainly doesn't get John out of prison. It doesn't take away his suffering. It doesn't fix his troubles. But it was enough back then for John and his disciples. And it's enough for us still. So what did Jesus do? First of all, there were his healings, his proclamation, preaching of good news to the poor, healing the lame and the blind and those who were sick. Not as a promise that he was going to, in that instant, take away every sickness or disease or illness, but rather to draw our eyes and our hearts to him, that we might trust in him, whether our healing comes now or later. And then there was our Lord's faithfulness unto death. Our Lord didn't shy away, speaking the truth and proclaiming himself, not even when they came to arrest him, not even when they put him on trial in the middle of the night. But our Lord was faithful unto death, proclaiming himself as the promised Messiah, the one who came to set us free and to lighten our darkness. And then there's this. The dead are raised. Certainly we think of the widow of Nain's son and Jairus' daughter and Lazarus raised from the dead after 4 days in the grave. And we think also here of our Lord, risen from the dead, that not even the prison of the grave can keep him away or down, but our Lord is able to break through death itself. And finally, we have this promise of what our Lord has not yet done, but has said he will do, that he will return again in glory on the last day. You see, our Lord did those things in his earthly ministry, and he promises to do this thing still to come, his return in glory, as a promise to us that he is truly the Messiah, that he is the one who is to come, and that there is not another. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, but his name alone. And what our Lord did, he did for us. He did for us not only to make our lives better in this moment, but rather to give himself and his promises to us, to say that he is and will be and always will be our Lord and our God. And our Lord has come today. He's given you a message like he gave to John the Baptizer. No, he hasn't appeared in his full glory. No, he hasn't come and thrown wide every prison door that encloses you. No, the darkness isn't gone fully. But our Lord comes. He comes to lighten our darkness by his gracious visitation. He comes in his word. He comes in his holy sacrament, hidden but there, real for you with his salvation. And this is the reason today that we can rejoice. Even though there is so much darkness and so much suffering and so many challenges and difficulties in life, we can rejoice because we know the Savior. We know the Messiah. And even better, he knows us. And he came for us. Sinners though we are, broken though our lives may be, drawing to a close though our days may be, rejoice in Jesus Christ, your Savior. And Paul writes those words Rejoice in the Lord always. He writes them from prison, from the very same place where John the Baptist has been. St. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. We rejoice not because our suffering is ended, but because our Savior is near. We rejoice because we know that no matter how strong the darkness is, it cannot overcome the light, because he is risen from the dead, and he lives and reigns now and forever. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let his gracious visitation lighten your heart this day. And then take your Lord and his visitation, take that word about him, take the announcement that the Savior has come, take it into the dark places where you go, and to the people you know who live in darkness, and bear witness about him. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And our Lord says, yes, I am the one. You need no other. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you rescue the daughter of Zion from her enemies and take away the judgments against her. Look with compassion upon your people, wherever they suffer for the name of Jesus. Give them wisdom when they are pressured to compromise. Provide when they suffer loss. Give courage when they are afraid. And strengthen them in persecution until you finally deliver them. Preserve them always in the joyful hope that you will restore all that is lost with what cannot be taken away. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, as you once sent messengers before the face of Jesus to prepare his way, so strengthen and encourage all pastors and church workers as they make known his saving name. Open the ears of all who hear to rejoice, repent, and believe. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O giver of all good gifts,
Look upon the households of your people. Provide companionship for those who are alone. Strengthen the bonds of marriage and equip parents to raise their children in love and faith. Be with all expectant mothers during their pregnancies, especially Kaylee Phelps, Stephanie Miller, and their babies, and protect all unborn children in danger of abortion. Grant that our homes may be places of joy, reasonableness, peace, and prayer. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you know all things, and so we pray that you would look with mercy on those who have suffered loss through the tornadoes in the south. Be with those who are grieving and suffering. Be with those who have lost home, business, and earthly goods. We pray that you would provide for them to rebuild and restore, and give to those who mourn comfort in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you set the prisoners free. Remember those who are incarcerated justly, and grant that they might repent, be freed from the clutches of sin, accept the consequences of their wrongdoing, and learn to live honestly and peacefully. Remember all those who are imprisoned unjustly. Restore their freedom according to your will, and preserve them in your grace and the confidence that you know what is true and just. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son became flesh and healed the sick of all kinds of diseases and afflictions, showing his power and giving us a foretaste of the resurrection on the last day. Have mercy upon all those in need of deliverance, especially Tamas's great-nephew Jack, Betty Yancic, Larry Hawks, John Meyer Jr., Karen, those who have COVID, are recovering from it, or were recently exposed, as well as Rachel Keener, Randy Hunter, Rosemarie Jackson, George Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Audrey Linick, Nancy McTye, Tim Moore, Lucy Naylor, Eleanor Norrie, Ed Pinard, Alicia Reinhart, Nancy Roberts, Ted Roberts, Teresa Ethier, and Luann Trigo. Heal them in your time and according to your will, and preserve them in the confidence that you will deliver your people from all afflictions at the resurrection of all flesh. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, show your compassion to all who are homebound or in nursing homes, especially Anita Boudreau, Karen Hamill, Janet Lipke, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore, and provide for their needs of body and soul. Be with those to whom death draws near, especially Jack Farabaugh and Phyllis Moss. And when their last hour comes, take them from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, as your Son hosts his supper this day for his repentant people, grant those who partake of his body and blood to be worthy and well prepared, firmly believing the words given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Send your Spirit, we pray, on this bread and wine, that they may also be the body and blood of him who is coming in the clouds, that even now he may come to us and into us with grace and pardon.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit that, having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.